Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Time for music news with Gary Graff. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
All right. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you very much. Good. All right. Let's get to the list of...
Busy week this week.
Oh, what's going on? Let's get at it.
Well, I mean, yeah, first of all, you have some nice news for Milwaukee. You're getting a show on the next leg of the Bon Jovi tour, April 29th at the Bradley Center, right?
The story is that, and I'm not sure if this is an absolute, but the last show at the Bradley Center, last concert.
It could be. They're not, it's funny because he did one of the last shows at the Detroit Arena, Joe Louis Arena, before they closed it.
Boy, that would be some tour, the last event at this arena tour.
wouldn't that be fun? I mean, did see it here, last year, right around the time the album came out, This House Is Not For Sale. And it's a Bon Jovi show. I mean, you're going to get all the things you want from a Bon Jovi show. I suspect a touch more jovial. This will be, 2 weeks after they're inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't think Richie's going to jump back on board, Richie Sambora, but I think spirits will be pretty high in the group. They are, by the way, putting out an expanded version of the This House Is Not For Sale album. They're adding two new songs that they recently recorded that initially, when I spoke with John last month, about getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, he said they were just going to drop these songs digitally this month, January, but we haven't seen them yet. They are, however, going to be part of the part of an expanded edition of this album.
If I held up the album that had "Runaway" on it, the one that came out back in 1983. I was going to say 85, 83. If I held that up with the new album, other than John Bon Jovi, who am I going to see that? I go, oh, that guy's still in the band.
You still have Tico Torres, the drummer, and David Byrne. By Brian, the keyboard player.
Okay.
You have a different bass player and a different lead guitarist.
Okay. All right.
But it's still most of the band.
But they used to be like, we're Bon Jovi, it's the whole band. Now it's John Bon Jovi that you're going to see.
It's an interesting story because it basically started as John Bon Jovi. That first album was him. It was kind of his studio creation. Then he put together the band, and then it became a band. He started writing songs with Richie Sambora, and the guys in the band started contributing more, but it started as John Bon Jovi, himself.
Been around a long time, so that's going to morph into different things over years.
That happens, and the fact that he's still got two guys in the band is, and the current bass player, Hugh McDonald, has been with him since the mid-80s or something.
So. I have two Bon Jovi stories. I've seen him once. They were the opening act that night. They had just released Runaway.
Okay.
And who were they opening for in Toledo, Ohio, Gary? Do you know?
It wasn't Cinderella. They were opening for other people.
Right. No, this was even worse. 38 Special.
That's it. I almost just said that.
They were opening for 38 Special, and they were so happy to be there.
They had
a meet and greet before the show, and those guys were just happy as clams to be the opening act for 38 Special.
They were, I still remember one of the recent albums. When Richie was still in the band, John and Richie hitting the road and playing these acoustic radio things with contest winners and the kind of stuff that they clearly didn't have to do at that stage of their career, but they still were willing to work it. So you got to give them credit. They are kind of old school in that way.
The other story is we had an afternoon guy here, Chip Hobart, who worked in New Jersey years ago, and his story here was always, I broke Bon Jovi. Station. I was doing afternoons. I broke Bon Jovi Runaway. I was the first one to ever play it, blah, blah, blah. And that was his story. Chip did that all the time. I broke Bon Jovi. It's like, okay, fine, Chip, you broke Bon Jovi. Nobody believed him. Bon Jovi's playing Milwaukee. He comes to the station with God as my witness. He gets out of the car and goes, Chip, and hugs him. And they were like best pals. It was like, whoa, really? Chip was telling the truth.
And they made that connection. I still remember, hanging with those guys on those first couple of tours, and they made connections with writers and with disc jockeys and, air personalities and everybody, even salespeople and programmers. They took everybody to the strip clubs, and they hung out, and they kept those relationships going. Again, old school.
I feel like I saw Tico Torres on Bob Vila's show once.
I don't doubt it.
I think he was on it once.
Well, he ran. I forget whether it was him or the old bass player Alec John Such. One of them has like a chain of car washes.
Oh yeah. Well,
and you know that's their other endeavor.
You are in Bon Jovi, and you're taking my $10 for my car wash.
That's right.
Would you like an air freshener with that?
There you go.
Air freshener, wheel brush.
Here's something I'm looking forward to. This is the thing that got me on your list more than anything. Van Halen documentary
in the works. And interestingly, the source for this is Michael Anthony from an Instagram post. He posted just the other day that he filmed an interview today for the Van Halen documentary that's in the works. Brought up many great memories. I'll let you know. All know when it will air. Now this has stemmed a lot of speculation. This year, 2018, is the 30th anniversary of the first Van Halen album, first one that came out. So people are saying, okay, is Michael going to be back in the band? Are they going to do a 40th anniversary tour? Is something going to happen? Clearly, that he is part of this documentary, although he doesn't say whether it's an authorized one or not, which is interesting. You know, this could be an unauthorized one, meaning they talk to, like, Michael and Sammy, but, you know, Dave and Al and Eddie don't participate in it.
If they do a documentary, I don't want to just talk to them. I don't want to talk to Valerie Bertinelli.
Sure. Oh, yeah, no, you want to talk to the people that were around Van Halen.
Yeah.
It's a shame, some of their tour managers, behind-the-scenes people, are no longer with us, but, you know, there's... you know, yeah, you want it to be a real documentary, and it probably, you know, if it's going to be good, it will be. So this is one we're hoping for.
Well, you need a couple of minutes from everybody who's been in the band, right? And that number is...
Well, it's not that many who's been in the band. You know, we're talking about, what, seven guys?
Right. Sam, Dave.
Not too bad. That's still manageable.
All are still alive.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and I'm sure there's lots of Warner Brothers people. You know, Ted Templeman, who produced the first albums. You know, there's a lot of those people still around to talk to. So it could be great.
Eric Clapton's having trouble with his hearing?
Yeah, this was kind of sad news. He was talking to the BBC this week, and he revealed that he's suffering basically degenerative hearing issues. He has really bad tinnitus, and it's not getting any better. So he's concerned, and he voiced concern about being able to play live in the future, including he's got this big gig in July in Hyde Park in London, and he also said he had talked last year about, you know, degenerative nerve damage in his hands that's making it harder for him to play. Now, take this with not a full grain of salt, but a little grain of salt. I mean, this is a guy who has made a career out of, I hate to say, a whining, but he's always, you know, a little bit like Pete Townsend. He's always, something's always wrong. It's almost this old elder showman's attempt to limit expectations.
Well, he might have gotten a bad diagnosis from his doctor and panicked a little bit.
That's possible too. But anyway, so, you know, this came out, so you know it's certainly a way of getting headlines. And again, if he's trying to grace, you know, if he's trying to leave the business, you know, really retire, but doesn't want to look like a wuss, he can blame it on actual physical and health conditions rather than just saying, yeah, man, I'm 70, whatever he is, I'm tired, I don't want to do this anymore.
If you don't want a tour anymore and you don't want the day-to-day grind of being in the studio or whatever it takes to be in the entertainment business, you should be able to just shut it down and
absolutely
go, thanks, everybody, it was a great ride, I'm out of here, I'm going to go retire, like Gene Hackman did.
Right. Right, but in the case of a guy like Eric Clapton, so he looks around at his contemporaries who continue to work, who continue to be active, in the case of Keith Richards, who continue to be alive against all odds. And he also, Clapton is a guy who also measures himself against B.B. King and James Cotton and, you know,
who all played until they died.
All the Kings, right, these guys who just, you know, rock till they drop. And so there's a part of him that's like, well, I should do that too.
Maybe he doesn't want to die on the road in a hotel room or something like that.
And there's nothing wrong with that. So you almost want to say to the guy, look, just retire.
Yeah.
Just say you're done. You don't owe us anything. You know, you gave us lots of great music and lots of great performances.
And retirement is what? Maybe he comes back, he just does some studio stuff when he feels like it?
Anymore, you don't even have to announce a whole lot.
Thank you.
You know, just go.
Let's talk about Lifetime Achievement Award at the Grammys.
Yeah, this year they are going to, and well, I need to scroll down to that part of it, Queen, who I thought had one already. Tina Turner and Neil Diamond are the big names. Also Emmylou Harris, Hal Blaine, legendary session drummer. He played with Elvis and so many others, Louis Jordan and the Meters. So that's a pretty good group. Like I say, I thought Queen had it already. There's talk that Tina Turner may actually appear at the Grammys, or she'll appear but may actually do something. We may see her get up on stage and those million dollar insured legs may actually strut their stuff a little bit.
I can't imagine.
She's 70 now?
Who, Tina?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, but, you know, listen, I saw her last time I saw her, and we granted this was a while ago, but she rocked harder than some of these 20s.
Okay.
By the way,
she's old school.
She is. She is. The Grammys also announced more performers. Bruno Mars, Cardi B, Luis Fonsi, and SZA are going to be part of the show. And, you know, they're going to line up all sorts of special surprises and, you know, collaborations like they usually do.
We have an anthem singer for the Super Bowl.
We do. It's going to be Pink. You know, she'll probably, like they do, she'll record it and lip sync it at the Super Bowl.
But is she going to jump off of the building?
I don't think for the national anthem.
No,
I don't think
through the hole in the roof or anything.
You know, no wardrobe malfunctions, no hijinks. This is the national anthem.
Okay.
So now that being said, you know, will she jump out of a stealth bomber? Entirely within the realm of possibility. I mean, she is a one-woman Cirque du Soleil.
That's what I've heard. Like, even if you're not a Pink fan, you just have to be impressed with the show that she puts on.
It's amazing.
Everyone tells me, you got to see her once. Even if you don't like her, you have to go see
it. But is it explosions or acrobatics or?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Acrobatics.
Water. Justin Timberlake, of course, will be doing the halftime show. Everybody's, especially now that he's got a new album out and a tour that he announced this week, everybody's getting kind of excited to see what he'll come up with for the halftime show.
And that's all at no cost to the league, right?
Right. They get sponsors. They get sponsors to pay for it. In fact, the league probably makes money, whatever.
Well, remember a year or so ago when they floated that balloon, like, hey,
you can buy your way on.
We might want 10% of your ticket sales on your tour since we're launching this. Remember when the NFL kind of brought that up?
Yeah. No, they basically got the middle finger from the music industry.
Well, can they still do that with the decline in ratings over the last couple of years?
They're still a big enough entity. They'll push anything. I mean, even though there's been a decline in viewership and in attendance, you're still talking about one of the biggest business concerns in the world. So, you know, they're not going to be filing for unemployment anytime soon, though, you know, the NFL collectively or welfare. They're still making millions and billions.
Yeah. All right. I always like an update on Oasis when they're
Well, they apparently made up, and then the Gallagher brothers, and that, or at least hinted. Liam hinted that they made up, and now apparently they have, if there was a truce, they have not made up.
What's the timeline from the last
rumor
of being made up to this last announcement?
I guess it was December that Liam tweeted. Okay. Liam tweeted about having a nice conversation with NG. He didn't say Noel Gallagher.
Okay.
And apparently there's somebody in the Oasis camp who's also NG.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I mean, I keep wondering if these guys just don't sit down with Sunday dinner with their mom and older brother and cook this crap up.
All right. And finally.
We should really mention the passing of Ray Thomas of the Moody Blues. Very sad. You know, 3 weeks after these guys finally are announced that they're going to be inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, he passes away. You know, he'd been battling a number of health diseases. He had retired from the band for almost 20 years because of his health. And, you know, people don't realize that, you know, Justin Hayward, John Lodge get the lion's share of attention in the Moody Blues, but Ray Thomas was the guy who wrote Legend of a Mind and For My Lady and a bunch of stuff. You know, he played the flute, so, you know, there's a flute solo in Knights in White Satin and so many of the other songs, so, you know, a significant member of the band and a guy who's turned in some significant performances that we all know and love. And to have the timing of it come as it is really very sad.
All right. Gary.
You guys have a good week.
Your work here is done.
All right. Until next week.
For another week. Right. We'll get together next Friday to do this again. All right.
All right. Watch some good football this weekend.
I hope so.
Sounds good.
All right. We'll
It'll be on. It'll be on.
It'll be Packer and Lion free, that's for sure.
Well, well, yes. One of us is not surprised by that.
Well, you still got your Steelers, though.
I do have my Steelers.
How you feel about that one?
I'm feeling good.
Okay, right. You should feel good. All right.
All right, we'll talk next week.
All right, Gary. Gary Graff, our music expert. Friday mornings around here